Maverick, legend, recluse, genius. All words associated with American film director Terrence Malick. In a career spanning almost 40 years, he has directed the grand total of 4 films, but it appears a 5th is on the way.
There are 2 ways through life, the way of nature and the way of grace.
Malick is this poet, the philosopher, the priest of American cinema. He is interested in taking vastly complicated, interesting concepts and distilling them into pictures and words.
John McGuire, film critic for the Sunday Business Post.
Malick doesn't want just to tick off the boxes in your mental checklist of what the film is likely to be about, or contain, or make you feel. He uses the camera to capture emotion, not just plot or dialogue or the performances. And his approach to cinema is experiential. He wants to create a space where audiences can lose themselves completely for a couple of hours.
Father, mother, always you rest alongside me.
A mystique is built around him because of the kind of character that he is.
Esther McCarthy, film critic for the Sunday World.
He just doesn't play the studio game the way other filmmakers do. He doesn't do the rounds of publicity. You know, you won't see him on the chat shows in the US flogging his movie. He wants to make the kind of films he wants to make, and he cuts them the way he wants to cut them. You know, whether actors like it or not, and there have been issues with some of his cast members. But he's just an uncompromising kind of character.
They told everybody they were brother and sister. My brother didn't want nobody to know. You know how people are. You tell them something, they start talking.
Days of Heaven, which was released in 1978, was really the last time we heard of Malick, or any missives really from Malick, until 1999, which saw the release of The Thin Red Line. It's a fantastic World War II action war movie. And in that interim period, he became what we can only refer to, I guess, as a recluse.
David O'Mahony, program manager for Access Cinema.
There was no interviews from him. Various journalists over the years tried to track him down, tried for comment, to no avail. There was talk that he was living in Paris. He was working on particular scripts. I believe he was working on one particular script, the title of which was Q, which was grappling with the man's beginning and the beginning of life, the universe and everything, these weighty themes, as always, and that never seemed to go anywhere. Until in the mid-90s, rumours began to surface that he was working on a long gestated project, which eventually came to fruition as The Thin Red Line.
In this world, a man himself is nothing. And there ain't no world but this one.
The nature element is a big part of his films. I vividly remember in The Thin Red Line, one minute you'd have a war scene, and a kind of a brutal war scene, and the next minute you'd have like swishing grasses or a close-up of a parrot, you know. It led to some claims of pretentiousness, I suppose, really, because we're so used to having our movies fed to us. But I mean, it's absolutely beautiful to look at, and he's a very lyrical filmmaker.
Common criticism against Malick is that his films are boring, which I could never understand. To me, Alvin and the Chipmunks is boring. A noisy, hyper-real, hyper-kinetic modern studio cinema is dull and boring because it is essentially the same thing done again and again.
We get the sense that Malick films a huge amount and it comes together in the editing room, whereas there's various story strands are taken up and left down. Characters appear, disappear, maybe not seen again. Now, quite famously, when it came to The Thin Red Line, he had shot quite big names. We had people like George Clooney and John Travolta and other people who never actually made the cut, but John Travolta, I think, appears in one scene. Clooney appears in one scene towards the end. People like Tim Roth and other people, Gary Oldman, were shot many, many scenes, never made it the final cut. And also Mickey Rourke, who has quite a famous sequence in the film, was on the cutting room floor. I think it's all part of his method and this need to capture a lot of footage. And I think, perhaps I'm wrong, but I imagine Malick is sort of man we find it quite difficult to describe exactly what he's getting at, but in the editing process it comes together.
With Malick, it used to be the rarity of his films were such that by the time you saw the new one, maybe 10 years has passed and you could have forgotten the last one. You forget what it's like to be overwhelmed by this tidal wave of images, emotions, sound, particularly his use of sound, his use of natural sound, ambient sound, classical music. All of these things just wash over you as you watch the film. And it can be quite draining, you know. It's a lot to take in, a lot to take on, but tremendously rewarding, hugely rewarding. And emotional, it can be, some of them can be quite upsetting.
All the children of the king were beautiful, but she, the youngest, was so exceedingly so that the sun himself, though he saw her often, was surprised whenever she came out into his presence. Her father had a dozen wives, 100 children. She was his favorite.
He's a visionary in a way. He's a filmmaker who does, who creates movies like nobody else is really making at the moment. He is not defined by trends or fashion or even genre. I think if you believe in film and cinema as a visual medium, then that's what is there to love about his films. They are just trippy. They're like paintings. Every shot is beautifully created and put together, often to classical music. And they're just, I think, you know, hardcore cinema lovers will adore Terrence Malick's films. It's a case of which one they prefer, how much they love them, really.